So what is it we're talking about today? BMS. Missions. Missions. What is missions? I heard somebody whispering that. I don't know where it came from. Somebody said telling others. Yes, Anne. That's exactly right. Telling others. Yeah. Do we need to go to Peru and where else did we mention? China? Do we? We've all been called to evangelize, haven't we? Do you know what evangelize means? Literally, it means to talk about good news. Do you like hearing good news? I love hearing good news. And that's our job. That's what we have to do, is to spread that good news. What's the use of good news if you don't tell anybody? You know, Marks and Spencer's out at the outlets. It's got a massive sale on. 90% off. I want to tell you, but that's not true, by the way. But I want to tell you because it's good news, don't you? You want to tell people good news. And that's what we're meant to do. Now, do you know what the great commandment is? You do, but I'm going to tell you. Yes, Pat? It is. Not yet, but nearly. Nearly. It's a wee bit before that. The great commandment is, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like that. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Yep. Do we do that? So that's a great commandment. Why are we here? Why are we here on earth? Why are we here in church? Well, I tell you, just what we've just read. To love God and to love other people. It's a waste of time if we're just going to love God. We need to love others. And we're talking about people outside these four walls. That's what we're to do. And here's where you come in, Pat. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Lovely verse. He's with us always. We have to go. To reach out. Outreach. Wow. Did it say anything but if you're over 60, it's okay? Does it say if you've retired, you don't have to do this? Does it? Doesn't say that in my Bible. It says go. It's vital for the health and the future of our church. Wow. There was a survey done a couple of years ago. This is true. 89% of the Christians surveyed, when they were asked what the focus of the church should be, said it should be for me and my family. 89%. 11% said the church's purpose is to win others for Jesus Christ. Is that not a wee bit of a mismatch there, eh? Goodness me. We must reach out around us. We want our church to be healthy. We want our church to grow. We must help others understand what Jesus did. What Jesus did on the cross. Not just for us, but for them as well. We must proclaim the transforming power of Jesus that transformed our lives. Has Jesus transformed your life? That's good news. Let's tell people about it. If we don't, we'll stop growing and eventually die. So the first point we have this morning is, why should we be concerned? Because God loves people. Do you believe he loves you? Do you believe he loves your next door neighbor? Do you believe he loves your children? The Lord is patient, not wanting anyone to perish, but wants everyone to come to repentance. And you know how he does that? By using you and me. Doesn't want anyone to go to hell. It says here, Scripture tells us, hell was created for the devil and his angels. It was not created for man. God loves people. He wants everybody will serve him. He wants everyone could have a personal relationship with him. That's good news. Do we see that as good news? Yeah. But the bad news is that in this world we have sin. We've got friends that sin. We've got family that sin. We ourselves sin. And the Bible tells us, if we are hoarding sin in our lives, we can't go to heaven. It says in Romans, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. It's true. But God's done something about that. We are drowning in sin, and God has sent a rescuer. Do you know what another name for a rescuer is? A savior. Jesus Christ. For each one of us. He doesn't want us to drown. He doesn't want us to die. He doesn't want our neighbors, our family, our friends to drown or die. Why did God send Jesus? Because he loves us. As simple as that. He loves us. And we all know, for God so loved you and me, that he gave his only begotten Son, so that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God loves people. He loves the people you don't love. And he wants that they go to heaven as well. That they go to glory. Wow. Do we? And that's where this problem lies. Is we're quite happy that we're going to heaven. But that's not what we should be happy about. We should be happy when others outside the church want to come in, want to know the Lord. Let's imagine we're in a lovely luxury liner going across the Pacific Ocean. And right in the middle of the ocean, not far from everywhere, it sinks. And we're all swimming about like mad. After quite a while, a rescue boat comes. And the rescue boat says, come on, come on in. We want to save you. Are you going to turn around and say, no, it's all right, I'll do it myself. I'm quite a good swimmer. Mad. Mad. But yet, how many people do you know when they hear the gospel say, no, it's all right, I'll do it myself. But it's up to us to have the courage, the enthusiasm to spread this good news. Only Jesus can save. We must believe, we must accept, we must trust, we must want to live with him. And if we don't, we're going to die. And that's what's true about our family and friends as well. We want to share with our neighbours, our families, our friends. We want to share with anyone and everyone who doesn't know the saving grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the forgiving power of him on the cross. But that's not all. You know, once we have received help and we're on board, it doesn't finish there. God wants us to then reach out hands to other people who are drowning, doesn't he? And that's what we're doing. We've got a job to do. So the first reason is to be involved. God loves people. He does not want any of them to perish, to die. Our second point, you're already there, John. The second reason we need to be concerned about evangelism is Jesus commands us to reach out. There we are. Jesus is reaching out there. That's what he wants us to do. Somebody said that it's essential for us to witness, to show people our Christian lives. And sometimes we have to use words. Yes, we use words. But what do people see in your life? How do they see you living? Can they see your testimony in the things you say and the things you do and the way you react? It's your question. Go out into the country and urge anyone you find to come in. Anyone you find. They don't have to be middle class. They don't have to have some money in their back pocket. They don't have to be intelligent. Anyone you can find so that my house will be full. You will be my witnesses. That's the Great Commission. It's not a suggestion. It's not an option. Get on board. He tells us to help others, to reach out. And if we're not doing it, we're being disobedient. Do you understand that? Do you like to be ignored? Do you like it when people don't listen to you? You know, God doesn't like it either. Sometimes I'm sure he must feel that we're ignoring him, that we're not listening to him, because we're not doing what he asks. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all the things I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always to the end of the age. Go, make disciples, baptize, teach. Again, these things are not suggestions. They're commands. Why don't we do it then? They're commands. Not optional. It's us being obedient. Our third point, John. Church growth is God's will. Under Christ's control, the whole body is nourished. That's us as a body. And grows as God wants it to grow. Jesus said, I will build my church. Now he's going to plant the church. He's going to make it grow, but he wants us to get involved. He's got a strategy for us. He's got a plan. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all the things I've commanded you. Wow, yes. God intends his people, his children, us, to bring people to him, to teach them and show them what the Christian life is, to show them in how we live what our transforming power, what God's transforming power is. Number four, John. You're already in your mission field. Where does outreach take place? Exactly, wherever you are. You've heard me say this many times, and we're talking about missions today, so it's not out of place. A missionary is not someone who crosses the sea, but someone who sees the cross. Who's that? Us. We don't have to cross the sea. We just have to see the cross. Our mission field is here. Clacton. Here. Jaywick. Wherever we might live. That's our mission field. Some people in our community know Jesus, some don't. But you know, that's, Alison gave us some great statistics. But we're not any different to India and China and Peru and Brazil and Australia and Africa. There, they've got people who know Jesus and people who don't know Jesus. Clacton, we've got people who know Jesus and don't know Jesus. I remember when I was still a student, I went to the Baptist Assembly in Scotland. And on the stage, they were presenting two couples from America who came as missionaries to Scotland. Well, you should have heard people. They were really put out. We don't need missionaries, especially from America. Yes, we do need missionaries. We are the missionaries. It's for us to do. Now, Alison gave some statistics. Do you know what the statistic for UK is for Christians? Actually, I'll change that. People that go to church. What the percentage is? Well, they reckon it's 2% of people in Great Britain go to church. That's scary, is it not? Why is it not more? Because we are not doing our job. We need to share the good news. People who know Christ and people who don't know Christ. Now, this mission field that we're in just now, today, has some great advantages. Do you want to know what these advantages are? What's that, Pat? Freedom of speech is a good one. But not only that, even our speech, we speak English. The people we're working with speak English. So we don't have to learn another language to evangelize, do we? We know the culture fairly well. We know a lot of people fairly well. So it should be much easier to start evangelizing. Go therefore and make disciples. That go therefore means as you are going. So it's not when you get there. It's in the process of getting there. As you are going, go out, train everyone you meet, far and near, in the way of life. Well, our mission field is here. You know, we all know the passage that says the harvest is ripe, but where are the laborers? Are we going to let that harvest just grow and mature and die and wither? Or are we going to do something about it? Whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's not just for us. It's for them as well. We need to commit to reaching out to people all around us. We need to be sensitive to what their needs are. We need to share the love and forgiveness of our Lord Jesus Christ. We need to tell somebody that God loves them. Let's do it this week. We've got a job to do. We've got a story to tell to the nations. We just sang that. Great story. Good news of abundant life, of eternal love. Wow. Our Savior loves us. But he loves our neighbors and friends as well. Let's pray. Father, this week we ask that you make us more sensitive to the needs that are around us. We ask, Lord, that we go about our life this week and that we would be open to opportunities to share your love with the people we come into contact with. Give us boldness to speak, your wisdom to know what to say. May you make people's hearts receptive to your good news. Amen.